Hey guys, it's TPEZ and you were listening to the Your Journey podcast. Today we're going to be talking to KD Infinite, who is a 23-year-old rapper from Camden. He makes a lot of soulful hip-hop and glam. We're going to be talking about how you should be releasing your music in 2019, how depression and mental health developed him into becoming a stronger man and an artist we see today, and also kind of just discussing how difficult it can be to actually get support with mental health issues. But yeah, man, it's a great convo. I'm mad sick, if you can't tell by my voice. I'm going to let the podcast speak.
So yeah, I guess I was doing grime as chaos. And then I guess after getting in quite a bit of trouble, like I had to move school. And then, yeah, I guess I stopped from there because I moved to Essex. It's not like a grime place, you know what I'm saying? So you go under the radar. And then... yeah, from there, I started listening to rap a lot more. I started to listen to, like, Cannabis, old school Jay-Z, that Reasonable Doubt, old school Eminem, Big Pun, Big L, all of them. And it kind of made me just want to rap, like, serious bars, you know? Because I guess grime is, like, it was aggressive, but the bars weren't that intricate or whatever, so... yeah, once I got to that stage and I was hearing all these rappers, like, wow, that's mad intelligent. Like, how do I do that? Started practicing, yeah. Eventually started making rap music. So
how do you be smart like that? Because you said you wanted to make more intelligent lyrics.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't think that comes from just rapping. There must be something you're learning that you put into your music to make you so.
Yeah, that's an interesting point because. Obviously, you're learning stuff in school, innit? So let's say you're in science class and then you're learning something about, like, you know, photosynthesis, or you're learning about, like, I don't know, chemicals and alkalines and all this stuff, and you're just like, how do I put this into a rap, you know? And, of course, you got YouTube there, so you're always studying different things, if that's what you're into. Like me, I used to just go through YouTube and watch bare, quote-unquote, enlightening videos, so it kind of gives you something to talk about.
Okay. Yeah, man. See, me, yeah, like, I have this issue when I'm writing where I end up doing the same thing sometimes over and over, like the same kinds of topics. And a lot of the time, my best tunes come from when I've, like, gone out and, like, started doing research on, like, a particular thing. It's quite interesting. I feel like we end up getting in, like, when we're making or creating things, we end up putting ourselves in, like, a trap.
Yeah.
Where, like, you're just going back to what you're used to and not, like, kind of switching it up. I don't know.
Like, you're not hitting new topics.
Yeah. So how would you, if you're starting, how would you actually find new things to talk about that you actually care about? You're not just going on Twitter.
Yeah. No, that's an interesting point because I guess when I was 16 or whatever, I would always worry, like, one day I'm going to run out of bars, you know. because I'm just getting over the same thing. You're just literally saying the same thing over. This is how sick I am at rapping. So you're just thinking. I guess the main thing is to go out and live, you know, interact with people in real life. You know, put yourself out of your comfort zone if you're somebody that's not that social. I know a lot of musicians can be, so put yourself out there. Experience, see different things, and different things will start to come to you in terms of what you want to talk about because you've experienced things, you've seen a different perspective, you've seen how other people move in the world, and you're growing as a person as you interact with people more.
I was listening to your Black Box.
Which one?
Whoa, they have multiple?
Yeah.
I've seen the one with, it's got two beats.
Okay.
It's got you doing, like, some intense, like, hip-hop, like, sad stuff. And then after that, it gets, like, this dark trap beat. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think it's probably the first one. Am I wearing a hoodie?
Yeah, that's
the first one.
And in that one, you were talking about all sorts, like, in the first half, you were talking about, like, some crazy stuff, like, that's happened to you, and, like, it made me think about what you were saying.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, there's been things you've experienced that have defined the music that you've made.
So
can you tell me a bit more about, like, I don't know, like, what's something significant that has impacted you mentally to where you've had to, you just naturally switched it up to convey that?
That's an interesting question. I'd say something that not necessarily switched up my music, but switched up who I was as a person. So when I was 7, I went to Ghana, and I guess these times, like, you know, I guess in African households, you hear a lot about witchcraft and all of these different things, you know. So when you're actually there and you're in the village and you're seeing, you know, the witch doctors in their huts and stuff like that, you're very kind of intrigued but scared at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess when I'd come back from Ghana, I started to have mad visions, hallucinations, kind of very haunting experiences, you know. And yeah, that just completely changed my mind, you know. Sure. It was a very, very isolating time. Yeah, it was mad.
What happened in Ghana?
You know, different sources will say different things, you know. Some people will say there was magic done on me. Some people will say, you know, it's something psychological, you know.
Okay, so this isn't anything like literally that happened. It's more like a mentality thing that you've seen and that's changed your perspective. So nothing like literally happened, like you saw like some crime or something like that.
Oh, nah. Literally.
You came back.
Came back and then, I started hearing voices, you know.
That's crazy, man.
So I guess that took me from just being a normal kid that listened to 50 Cent and all of that to somebody who was a bit more weird in a way. But hidden, you know, still normal enough. Hidden. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess it didn't affect you, like your social life or anything like that.
Nah. Still, you know, have my total 90s and go to the parties and have my cake and custard, you know.
Oh, is that you, yeah?
Yeah, okay. Of course. But it changed me around my family a lot, you know. Yeah.
How does family, like, you know, relate to you as like a support system, if you know what I mean? Like, because if you are going through anything ever, like, are they the people who do you go to in situations where, I don't know, something's crazy's happened to you and you need to find some peace?
Peace. It wouldn't be family. It sounds bad, but I guess everybody has a different relationship with their family. Some people's, they're like proper close and like they go bowling together and they go to all these things. And for me, it was like that at a point, I think. But it's, they know been people I share my emotions with. So normally it'll be with my friends, you know, or a very close friend. Yeah. Or nobody, you know, that's more recent. Like, I think in the last few years, things have been a lot more healthy in terms of how I express things. Yeah, but before, it'll just go on the track or nowhere.
That's funny. I relate to you about the family thing. I don't think I don't really go to my family for much either.
Yeah.
It's usually like my friends that I can just chat to quick.
Yeah.
Unless it gets like super deep, then only then. I don't know. I guess people do have different relationships with their families, but
It's about how comfortable you are as well.
I wonder how that like relates to like upbringing. Like if you was raised a certain way, would we go to our parents for things more often? Do you think it's a black people thing? I notice actually a lot of my friends, like I had a girlfriend once, and she would not take any of her boyfriends back to her parents until a certain point because she was like shook of their reaction.
Okay.
And I think she, and I'd ask her like, okay, this is interesting. Cause I understood because there's a lot of people I know that have this like thing. And I was like, why? Is there a reason? What caused this? She's like, I don't even know, you know. I just feel like black people have this thing where us with our parents, we have a certain type of relationship, like a more stricter. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, like the relationship is in general not that, it's not personable, you know. It's, I'm on this platform, you're down there, 100%. And that's how we communicate, you know. It's not, because in order to have, I guess, deeper conversation with people, you need to be able to come to a middle ground, like you're at the same point. It's like how people say, like, as they got older, they felt a bit more comfortable to speak to their parents because you're slowly reaching a similar level, you know. But when you're young, like, because there's this gap that's presented to you where you can't speak openly, you know, because of how you'll be judged or punished, you know. So, yeah, I guess for Africans and black people in general, you know, just breaking that barrier between this is me and I'm on this pedestal and you're young and you shouldn't speak and, you know, that kind of Victorian style mentality, speak when you're spoken to.
Let's think, how do you break this barrier? Because when you're going home and you're like, Mom, I'm a big man now. Let's talk one-to-one properly. She might look at you like, you're still my baby.
Yeah, yeah.
So, would have you? I mean, do you think you're at that stage where you've got to that level with them? I guess, how did you get there, if you have?
Yeah, I'd say I'm closer to that stage. So, I can speak about deep things, but not... There's a certain barrier I won't go past, you know. Yeah. I won't get too deep into the emotional side or whatever, but I'll be able to talk about a situation, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I think I got there, one, through obviously maturing myself. And I think after my dad passed away, it made my family kind of grow a bit closer, you know, or my mum's side of the family anyway, you know. So I think that kind of, when you're forced to come together, you have to start communicating more.
Yeah. Okay, so when did this happen then?
In the past, 4 years, 2014.
I do remember you mentioning that in the visa, actually.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it was very, very sudden, you know. And I guess cancer is something, it's just untamable at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, it's untamable at the moment, so... Yeah, that definitely impacted my life a lot, you know. But not just in bad ways. I think I've been forced to step up, you know, forced to step up into a role that I wouldn't have thought I was ready for, you know. So I guess, oh, there's always kind of something positive you can take from such a negative situation. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck.
100.
You're going to be stuck.
Do you have siblings?
Yeah. So I have a younger brother, older brother, older sister. Yeah.
I was thinking when you said step up the role.
Yeah.
I imagined it was like a paternalistic thing. You becoming like a bigger person for them. Unless they're older. I don't know if they're older or younger.
So one's younger and the other two are older, but older to the point they have their own lives and families, so... You know, I still have to look after the immediate.
What's that like, actually? My mom's pregnant right now, yeah?
Yeah.
So she's going to have a son. I'm just thinking, right now, I'm at this stage, yeah. I don't actually feel nothing, like, crazy. Like, I'm just normal, like.
Yeah.
I'm a single child.
Yeah, okay,
so it's just like, yeah, you're pregnant. You've got a belly now. I don't, like, actually care, you know what I mean?
For real.
Yet.
Yeah.
Like, what's it like, firstly, to be in a sibling relationship? How does that, like, do you think it's helpful? Like, is it like having a friend?
Yeah, definitely. It can be. Like, if you allow it to be, you know. I think because my older brother's 13 years older than me, so, of course, a lot of what I'm into is because of him, you know. Even, like, listening to cannabis. Remember when I was in secondary school, he gave me his iPod. Not iPod, it wasn't iPod back then. It was like a Sony... It was a actual Sony Walkman, but not a Sony Walkman phone, like the actual actual things. And it had Kanye West, College Dropout, Late Registration on there, you know. It had Gin, it just had lots of rap on it, so that definitely influenced me taking a more rapping musical path. So yeah, like, I think it's like having a older wise friend, you could say.
Okay, so you're gonna teach me now.
Yeah,
I want to know, what are, like, some key things that you can pass down onto someone new to the world? What do you, like, obviously, because you've had it happen to you, and I guess whoever your younger sibling is, you've helped contributed. So what do you think? And also, what do you think you shouldn't be passing down? Like, obviously, because obviously as you're growing up, you get affected by things, innit? So
what I'd say is, don't expect your younger sibling to not make mistakes just because you've been through them, you know, because it's very easy for people to be judgmental. I did this, and this is what happened, so you shouldn't do it. Okay, that's understandable, but you need to make sure that your younger sibling has the room to make their own mistakes, but you're there to help them rather than just be judgmental.
Yeah.
You know? And you see that with a lot of parents and their kids, you know? They'll be like, oh, I went through this, I went through that. Why are you going through it? But everybody has their own mistakes to make. So, you know, be comfortable allowing them to make mistakes, but be there to, you know, provide the hand to help. Yeah. Okay. So that's definitely my don'ts. But I say do, make time, especially if you're a lot older than your younger sibling. Your life can be hectic, etc. But making time and just giving them your attention and effort is very important. Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's it.
So, do you watch a lot of Netflix? Or at all?
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, I'm an average Netflix user.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cut. There's this one movie I was watching yesterday, because lately I've been trying to watch like 3 films a week or something good like that, just like a hobby so I can level up.
Yeah.
And I watched one thing called Napoli Ever After. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Nah. What a phrase.
It's about this black woman, yeah. I don't know who her name. She's a proper actor. And it's a film about how she underwent her health journey. And it's a mad thing, because it was like, she loved her natural hair. She was all like, yeah, I'm the best. I'm perfect. She's got the sickest job. And basically, it just follows her downward spiral as to how, like, she becomes too reliant on her looks and her hair.
Okay.
And so she starts getting into this turmoil where basically, spoiler alert, like, her husband, it doesn't seem to truly love her. So she, like, ends up cutting off her hair. She goes bold. She has a bold phase. And then it's all about her doing this whole U-shaped thing of being at the top to going down and finding some self-love.
Okay.
And I was thinking about it, because it was only yesterday. And I was thinking, do you mind them have that? Do we have a thing, yeah, that, like, that just ties us down to, like, society, like, repressions? You know what I mean? Like, if girls have this thing where it's like, your hair is, it should be this way, it should be beautiful, your skin should be clear, blah, blah, blah. And then when they're able to free themselves, like, wow, crazy, I'm good now. I'm sure we have that, but it's not a physical thing. Or if it is, I don't know.
Yeah, nah, it's not a personal physical thing. Obviously, it's your money, isn't it? It's your money that you're tied to, you know? And you'll see somebody who's the man and they have the money and how people treat them, and then when they fall off, how they get treated, and when they come back, how they get treated. You know, it's like, look at 50 Cent, the man with all the money, the world loves him, literally the whole world. Then obviously he goes through the bankruptcy, you know. That's people true. Start clowning him a bit, you know. But then he comes back, obviously power's popping, whatever else he's doing is popping, and then the love comes back, you know.
That's gotta hate that, you know.
Yeah,
but is that the same? Cause that just sounds like money is a constant thing that you're gonna be judged on. Can man them live and not care about money and still be happy?
Yeah. Like, it's tough. I'd say to live in Western society and not care about money is very tough. Because that's what makes this place tick. You know, so unless you're planning to live in a cottage somewhere, you know, you're not gonna be able to tick. You know, yeah, so you have to know you have to have the skills to work with your environment, and money's part of this environment, you know, and most environments now, you know.
100. I thought, okay, so that's one. I feel like, you know what, maybe man them do have a thing like similar to girls, but I feel like a lot of things that we get repressed on, it becomes like a trend, like it doesn't last for long. So like, for example, lately it's been a whole beard thing. Like, obviously, you got your full beard and that.
Jeez.
Me, I got a little thing.
It's coming through.
You get me? I've been going this for like a good year and a bit.
Yeah.
And I remember as I was doing this, like, I'm going on Twitter now and I'm seeing, what, if you don't have a beard, I ain't husbanding him. I mean, husbanding him. If you don't have a beard, yeah, big boy. So I'm just thinking, we have that, but then it goes. Like, it don't matter as much. Whereas for girls, it's just like, it's always been this way, where they have to do certain things.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's
it's all, I guess, like, evolutionary, innit? It's like, because fundamentally, everything's about survival. So men wanted women that have health indicators, which is beauty. And women wanted men that have survival. You know, which is obviously strength, leadership, you know, money, wealth, you know.
100.
These are all basics of survival. So it just continues from there. So it's still, like, men are focused on beauty and women are more focused on men having wealth, etc. and leadership. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess beard is a part of, you know, a masculinity thing.
That's true.
So beard represents... your ability to command and lead and all of that. Visually anyway, you know. I don't know if it's true, if it correlates. But a lot of wise men do have beards, so, hey.
So, I did some, a little throwback research on you. While I listened to your music, I wanted to just go back and listen to everything else again. And there's, so I noticed you're very like a collaborative artist, like, you work with a lot of people. I remember when I started listening to you, you were just producing your own stuff. So that's what you were doing. And then you slowly started transitioning. Like, I remember I asked you for a beat and you were like, oh, I don't make beats no more. And I was like, oh, okay. And I looked at your music. I was like, oh yeah, it's true. And I see you doing things with this guy, Nosim.
Yeah.
I think his name is.
Yeah, man.
Rappers like Eclipse.
Yeah.
You know, what's it like collaborating on music compared to just doing it yourself? Because that's where I was at recently, just doing my own thing, and it was nice. Like, it was like a solo, like, cathartic session. But then when I started finding out, like, wow, me and this guy, we're making a banger. It's a whole different vibe, different energy. Tell me about that.
100%. Yeah, there's something called seniors. So it's not genius, it's seniors. So it's when you bring together the different sparks of genius in different people. You know, obviously bringing out your own genius is great, but when you can hear the genius in other people and you're bringing your own, it's like a big spark of things. Like, you're literally creating a big spark of magic that you couldn't do just by yourself. So that's, I think, that whole aspect of bringing it together and bouncing ideas off each other and seeing, this is somebody who I rate. Oh, they rate what I did on this part of it. I rate what they did on this part. You know, even when I was here, what, a month ago with Josh and More Night, like, just creating the track together and hearing the different crazy, like, ideas each of them was putting down, then I'd bring an idea, like...
Which is Vantage as well.
Yeah. Cool, cool. So it's like a beautiful idea. You know, it's and it's a beautiful way of executing, like, teamwork and all of that.
What's your favourite collab so far?
Oh, that's tough. That's very tough. I might have to say Such Is Life, you know. I'd say Such Is Life. And not even, like, because there's a new version of Such Is Life, and that's just taken the level of collaboration to a next point, but... It was so organic because the way I found Anissa was one of my friends had just told me to check out, like, oh, this girl's sick on SoundCloud. And I was like, cool, let me check it out. I heard her. It was amazing. It's a song called, what is it called? I can't even remember the name, but I'll find it. But I heard it. I just hit her up, like, you're amazing, like, we should work. And she heard me. She was like, you're amazing, we should work. I'm free in a couple of days. That I was like, cool, I'm free. Let's get, you know, and we're literally in the studio in like 4 days. And I'd had Such Is Life for a while. And obviously I'm singing the chorus, but getting her to actually sing it, and it was just like, wow, like you took this to the next level. And yeah, and then leaving the track for so long, you know, guess what? 3 years, 2 or 3 years until it actually dropped. Yeah, it was just a beautiful process because it's like I knew the right time for the song would come, you know.
That's one thing I wanted to talk about actually.
Yeah.
What is this process of release of music for you? Because lately I was chatting to you in the DMs not too long ago, and I said, I got this track and these man want to play, and I want to say names because it don't happen. Yeah. And blah, blah, blah. And essentially, the process of it has been like a whole journey, like a long, like doing this and going back. Tell me, what is it like releasing music for people who don't know? Because there's a lot of singers out there that just sing in their room and they haven't released nothing yet. What do you go through on like a more industry type of level rather than just putting it out yourself?
Yeah. Well, I guess first you have to think, why am I putting out this song? You know, what am I trying to get out of putting this song out? You know, am I just trying to show people I'm sick? Am I trying to tell a story? You know, am I setting up for something? You know, and then you have to think, cool, who's going to be best to tell this story? Like, what label, SoundCloud label or whatever, has the right idea in terms of it's going to connect with my idea and actually push it as far as it can go, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are you doing? Just DMing guys on like, or emailing them saying, yo, I have a song that you should play, or is there like a thing?
Well, one, you have to be in your community, you know? So obviously I've been on SoundCloud since, you could say, 2013, but I didn't take it seriously until 2015, 2016. And obviously when people see your name around often enough and they're liking what you do, they're going to be a lot more receptive to what you, when you hit them up. If it's like, oh, I've heard you before. Especially with features as well. So it's like, I've worked with Future Collective and obviously Play It Louder as well. And it's like, how I built that relationship is because I'd had tracks with Zerotep, who was already doing a lot of stuff with Future Collective. So then when I hit our Future Collective, it's like, oh, we've heard his stuff before and he's good. Let's So it's not, it doesn't make it as awkward as just straight.
I feel that.
You know.
That, man. Yeah. Shout out Michael, man.
Yeah, come on. That's the come guy. On.
But okay. So cool. So with that said then, so going back to your last thing about taking 3 years to release a track.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
It can annoy so many people. Like producers will be like, oh, where's the track to my beat? Or, you know, the features like, oh, when's, is that track ever going to come out? You know? And it's like, yeah. For me, releasing music is about connecting with people, for most of it anyway. It's about connecting with people, because I've already gone through the process of connecting with myself by making a song. So I'm satisfied, I'm good, but how do I now satisfy people? So it's like, if I know it's not the right climate or the right time to release something, then I just won't release it, you know. So Such Is Life, it was like, it's not time yet. Let me see.
Is it the sound?
Yeah, sometimes it's that. So I think what you pointed out about me having different aliases, like I hadn't found what I'm trying to do yet. I'm still just experimenting, throwing out tracks, lo-fi, hip-hop, old school, new school, you know, R&B, indie, whatever. Like just experimenting. And you kind of want to put out your best tracks when you know what you're doing.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's the main thing. Like if I know, cool, this phase, I'm going to be speaking about a situation I've gone through, a relationship I've gone through. I'm not going to be releasing just bare upbeat songs, you know, when I want to go deeper into, you know, soulful music, you know. So you have to know, cool, what am I releasing this for? Is it the right time? So that's how Such Is Life came about. Because even just before I released it, I wanted to release it with, who is it? London Rebels. But they were taking a bit long, so I was just thinking, something's telling me I just need to release this myself, you know, but let me do it in the best way possible.
Yeah.
You know, so I got the whole campaign behind it. It's my birthday. Everybody loves you on your birthday. You know, everybody loves you on your birthday. It's an amazing song, so let me just get all the pictures together, get all of that stuff, all the videos, and then yeah, just dropped it on my birthday.
This is interesting. I don't remember this campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
What went down? Like, what was the planning process? What did you do that was cool other than your birthday?
Yes. So obviously I gathered a lot of the old footage from me spitting when I was a kid.
Actually, I did see that.
All of that.
Yeah.
You know. And the thing is with me, I like to just do things spur of the moment. So I don't necessarily plan for time. Like it might be literally 2 weeks.
Mm.
I'll be like, cool, I've got this track. I want to get it to people. How do I do it? You know? How do I make it hit? Cool. What type of photos do I need? Do I need a picture drawn? Do I need something? You know? And then, yeah, I'll just try and put the piece together as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long do you take to actually do that then? How much time do you give yourself to make a campaign and release it?
I give myself, about 2 weeks to a month.
I respect that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But right. I'm a bit impatient though. So, you know, other musicians, it's like...
Now, I've heard that before, actually, so it does go well. So I wanted to ask you about, because you've been on SoundCloud since, when is it, 2013, did you say?
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Mm.
It's a very long time. And when you started, I'm imagining that you didn't have people listening the whole time, like a lot of people.
No, of course not.
And I wanted to talk about that feeling of like, not being heard. I feel like I don't know if all musicians go through this, where like, it's like we make music for ourselves, like for our own emotions and like to release things.
Yeah, yeah.
Your
own satisfaction.
Yeah, and then at the same time, it's like you want people to hear it, and you want people to like it, and this, that, and the other. Mm. Do you ever like go through like a phase where you just feel, or have you ever gone through a phase where you just feel like one of those things aren't happening?
Yeah, definitely. I'd say between, you could say 2010 and 2014, like that was it.
Mm.
Like it wasn't connecting anymore, you know. I think when you're in school, you have so many people around you constantly, it's easy for them to check out your music. Mm. But as soon as you start getting into later in college and all of these things, and then you're going to uni, everybody's got their own lives, they're going their own ways, so they're not invested in you as much because their eyes are different. They're not seeing you in class, or they're not seeing you in the area, you know. So definitely there was a big phase in time where people just weren't listening to my music, you know.
Mm.
And that's when, like, I just realized, yo, let me go towards where people enjoy what I do. You know, SoundCloud was that.
Mm.
You know, that's the main thing. You have to go to where you're celebrated, rather than trying to force people to celebrate you. That
I've messed with that. That's what I came to as well.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. So like, what do you think? So is that, would you say that's what kind of got you out of that little slump of feeling like unheard?
The
idea of talking to the wrong people, in a sense.
That's it. Like when you start focusing like your energy on people that actually care about the type of music that you make, it just changes everything. Because now it's suddenly from, oh, I'm sending out links, people aren't checking it, to, oh, I checked your link, this was sick, man, keep going. Mm. You know, you start getting those messages. And then your plays start to increase now because you're actually putting it in front of people that want to hear it, you know? And then people start reposting more. You start gaining more followers slowly, slowly. And then, as you said, you might have that one song that blows.
So is SoundCloud your place? Is that your main focus?
Mm.
What would you say?
It was. It definitely was. Like, SoundCloud was sick because it was just a community of people that love music. Like, especially in a time where people are so focused on, or especially back then, they were focused on getting a radio hit and all of that. Like, having a place where people can just listen to good music, you know, and comment and share and be in groups. Like, I think that was the best thing. Like, I think once I joined a collective called Subatomic, that just took me to the next level, because it's like, wow, I'm constantly online chatting with like artists that are sick and they love what I do as well. So it's like, it's just everything just flowing, you know, everything's flowing. It's like you need to build your army before you try and take on a war, you know what I'm saying? you're trying to go to war by yourself. That ain't it.
So where are you in this war then?
Where am I?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in a good position in the war right now. Like, I feel like I've created all the, you could say, webs I need. And now it's just about, you know, just sending out the energy through them now.
It's like, I feel that.
Yeah. So it's like the next moves I do will be taking my music to the next level. You know? Yeah,
okay. Cool. Tell me about life, as in your lifestyle as a rapper, as a person, and as a student. Cause I know you just graduated. Well done.
Thank you.
Cause last time I saw you, that's, you know, the first time I saw you. First time I saw you was at Carnival. Yeah. Just funny.
Jeez.
Me assuming now, I didn't think you'd be a Carnival guy. I thought you were the opposite, bro. So man's here now. And I've gone with my boys, and I think you know some of them, actually.
Yeah.
This guy Cameron and a couple guys that went to your school, actually. I know they follow you on Twitter.
Mm.
I was with them now, all these big ass lads here, protective YouTube. I'm short, innit?
For real.
And it was in this crazy pit of just people pushing and that. And then you tapped me, and you're like, yo. And I was like, I took a second, innit? And I just clocked it was you. And I was like, this is lit. And I left. It was only like a brief second. And I thought, oh, man's here. Like, what are you into? Like, what do you do in life? I want to know. I don't think people know, fam.
That's an interesting one. Nah, man, my life, I've always been a party boy, you know. Yeah. Like, I was always the one that was just in all the house parties, because I was like, you know, social chameleon, innit? So you're cool with everybody. You get invited to all the house parties. Even for, I guess, maybe like 4 years, I was promoting clubs and all of that, like. So I've always had kind of two different lifestyles, like.
That's funny.
There's the outgoing one, and then there's, you know, I'm in my room cooking up like some formulas, you know.
Yeah. See, I fully relate to that, fam.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in a position where people think you are two versions of me. They'll see me online, yeah, and I'll think, well, this guy's everywhere. And it's in the ways it's true, innit? Like, I like meeting people and chatting to people, and you'll catch me like at my uni city selling club tickets or like doing something mad, chatting to girls or something. And then, but there's other times where the man just wants to be alone and just do my thing and make music and blah blah blah. And I feel like there's a balance that when you're an ambivert, because that's what you're calling, right?
Yeah.
It's like, because you have these two identities, you have to balance them in yourself and with or relationships with people. How do you make it clear that you are this kind of person, if you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, for example, I guess there's plenty times where I have to come back to London to do things like this, like, which is serious related. I'm not really playing and like just hanging out with my friends,
yeah,
but everyone just assumes that I'm just like here and I'm just neglecting them. Man just wants to do some work and then study and whatnot.
Yeah.
How do you convey that without losing yourself?
But I think having the right friends is important, you know, having friends that are on similar things or understand your journey, you know what I'm saying? Because all my close circle of friends now, they're similar, like,
They know.
We always used to party together and all of that, but now we have something that we're fully focused on, you know? And we know where to draw that line of balance between, cool, this is my fun time, this is my studying time, is my chill time, and this is my project time, you know? Whatever that project is, you know? Like one of my friends, he's just gone around the world for 90 days solo traveling, you know, and like doing a blog on it, you know. So you have to have friends that understand your process, you know. So I think that's an important way. So you don't have to explain yourself. It's like, oh, if I don't message you for a couple of weeks, it's like, I know that he's been working on this, you know, and I have my own things to work on. So
Putting yourself out there, making music, has benefited you? Of course it has, but alternatively, has it done the opposite? Give me both sides.
I think it does the opposite in terms of you have more people that want to see you fail. Ooh. You know, because when you're going for a life that you want to choose, aka, it doesn't even have to be music. It can be in any field. Like, you could want to run the best gardening company, but because it's your thing, you're going towards it. Mm. So when people that aren't doing their own thing see you doing well, they start chatting about you, start chatting negative about you. They start, you know, throwing negative energy towards you, you know. And I guess that's a potential downside, but it's just part and parcel of the game you're in, you know. So I think it can make people uncomfortable when you're on your path, you know. And of course, you want to feel like you can connect with people. Like, even I bumped into an old friend, like, maybe like a month or two ago. It was like, ah, you forgot about us, yeah? I was just like, you think you're too good for us. Like, he said it as a joke, but it's like not really a joke, you know. I was like, nah, like, I'm just literally working to build up what is meant for me, you know.
Hundreds.
So people start thinking you're bougie because you're focused. That's how I put it.
I feel that.
The
whole idea of negative energy. Obviously this podcast is about mental health and music, innit? Talk about both. Do you feel that you, because mental health is invisible, we don't actually see it most times. Do you think you're conscious?
You know.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Brain scans, you know.
Yeah.
All of that. But yeah, no, I know what you mean.
But on like a social level, in terms of like talking to people, people don't understand it most times. If you say you've got, if you're sad, people want to air it. They'll be like, just get over it, man.
Yeah.
Have you experienced anything similar? Do you think, I mean, I don't know if you think you have your have anything mental health-y. Obviously, everyone has it in some form. Like, everyone has a health in terms of mind, innit? But
no, of course.
Do you think you ever dealt with anything like depression or anything crazy, or even seen it in someone else?
Yeah. So you could say 2013, 2014, 15. For most of it, I went through clinical depression. So this was even before my dad passed away, because you could say I was here, but I wasn't here, you know. And I think that's the other side of depression, where it's like you're not necessarily sad, but you just don't enjoy things anymore, you know. Because even I remember Arsenal, I hadn't been in a cup final for like 9 years, you know. Then we finally got to the FA Cup, won it. I didn't feel anything at all, you know, but that's like a symptom of the depression, you know. I guess it's hard to see in a lot of people, especially when you're considered to be high functioning, you know. So, like, when people see you as smart and whatever, as long as you're still in that direction, people don't necessarily take in the fact that you're going through a depression. And I think a lot of people have different things, but I think it's very important not to self-diagnose unnecessarily, you know. So I think that's what's happening a lot now with the internet and this. Even you could say SoundCloud is kind of partially part of the problem, or was, you know, having this everybody's depressed as fuck or whatever, yeah, or sad boys and all of these things. Like, so I think there has to be that boundary between, wait, this person's actually suffering or I'm suffering. How can I rise above this, or do I need help? You know, so you need to know when you need help, and you need to know that you don't need to fit into a certain box to be valid of help. Like, you don't need to say, I'm depressed, to get help when you're sad. Yeah. Because being sad is part of being human, you know? So if you're sad, you can seek help. But you don't need to say, oh, I'm depressed, or I'm bipolar, and all of these things that are serious things, you know, that you shouldn't just be fraying on yourself.
Exactly.
Like, without actually, you know, investigating deeper.
That's an interesting one. I mean, knowing that, because, yeah, I actually see that all the time now, especially online, people, like, when they're sad, you know, we relate to, like, we just instantly choose to relate to somebody with, like, an actual mental health issue. And because we associate mental health issues like depression with people with it, we don't just assume that maybe you're just sad and upset.
That's it.
And that makes me, because you've actually had it, right? So tell me, what has made it, what's the distinction between actually having it and actually being sad? Like, how would you have known if you did?
I think with depression, it's not just feeling sad. Sometimes it's just feeling nothing. Sometimes it's you're not cleaning up after yourself. You're not choosing to eat. You know, you're just, you lose lack of care for yourself. But sadness could be, oh, I didn't get this job interview that I really thought I'd done well on. Now I feel sad.
Yeah.
You know, that's a natural response. So with depression, it's more an unnatural response to your situation. You know, so it's gone past, oh, I'm just sad. It's, I'm in a place that I can't get out of. And that's,
do you know the reason why when it happens? Because that's what I've noticed when people I know who actually has it, like, they don't actually know why they're sad, or why they're depressed, sorry.
Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting thing.
I think it's normally, like, a lot of different factors, you know. It stems from your life. How is your life going? How are you eating? You know, what things are going well for you? If nothing's going well for you, you feel even more trapped, you know. How are you combating this? Are you just binging series every day? Are you missing work? Are you missing uni? Like, all of these different things factor in. And as more pile on, the closer you are to going to that well. You know, if it's just one thing, you know, then you can just have a wave of sadness. But when, as loads of factors are hitting your life and they're continual, that's when you slip into depression, or in my experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
So comparing yourself then to now, clearly you obviously have an understanding of what's happened. So can you give me some examples of factors that you mean?
Without going well or wrong, or
Yeah,
so as I said before, like, my music was going nowhere, you know. I didn't want to be in university, you know, like, it was kind of, I didn't want to be there. My family was kind of split apart at the time, you know. Like, a girl that I was dating, it just went horribly wrong, you know, putting on a lot of weight. Spare things were just going, you know, out of control. Eating bear junk, watching bear anime, and all of these things with no control, you know. So it's just all these factors just adding to it.
Oh, cool. I want to talk about this. I actually forgot you were even a uni student.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, university and welfare, apparently, it's not that good. Apparently. I have a friend in it who I know who was going through some things and she weren't really getting any help at all.
Yeah.
Because, like, the uni were just sending her around. And there's even a petition on, like, right now for the government saying, well, you should allow students to have two GPs.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they've left their city and they're, you know, they're here.
Yeah.
And they actually need someone. They can't do it because they have another GP.
Yeah.
Things like that. Would your experience with uni and just that lifestyle of just trying to be happy and focused on whatnot, what was that like?
I think it can be great and it can be very terrible. You know, I think before uni, your school has to have a certain level of care for you. Whereas uni, they don't really care about you unless you make them care, you know, like unless you start sending bare emails, calling up offices, visiting offices, you know. You can have situations where you're sending people emails and they're just not responding. So I think in uni, you just learn, okay, these people really don't care about me. I spent my money, you know. So I think feeling that insignificance. And then on top of that, you're now around a bunch of new people with different cultures, backgrounds. You might not necessarily relate, especially with the uni I went to, because it's, you could say a certain background, more obviously middle class and upper class, you know, students, you know, so you don't necessarily connect with them as in their upbringing and how they live, etc. So is you can get very isolated, and isolation is one of the most dangerous things.
100%.
Yeah.
Uni is long. It's long, bruv. It's one of them ones. I remember when I started, and like I was in halls, so it was catered halls, innit?
Okay.
There was a thing where, it was like Harry Potter.
Yeah. Because everybody's sitting down.
Yeah, everyone's sitting down at the table, get your munch, eat up. And like, I clocked from, because when I started, I was excited. I actually want to go uni, by the way, at first. I wanted to just do my thing in like marketing and stuff.
Yeah.
But then I got good grades in it and I decided, you know what, let me switch it up and do this.
Yeah.
So I got there and I didn't know what to expect. And I found myself in like a little friend group.
Yeah.
And then something must have happened then, like 4 weeks into it, where I went with them, man, no more. I wasn't really feeling it.
Yeah.
And from, because it was such a thing where you were all on like a table and you're all chilling together and that. When I removed myself from that, I looked around the hall and I just realized, like, this is like, none of you are like me. All of you are a clique. And it's a very, like, it's almost like it's safe if you conform.
Yeah.
It's a safe environment if you conform. And if you don't, then everything switches up.
And
that was like a period for me where I thought, you know what, like, I'm alone. I must have to munch on my own and like, this is dinner. It bear hurt. I can't lie. I was like, shit then. I'm here. Like, there'll be times where I'll just run to my, just go to my room and just make tunes in it and just eat food quick. Just so I don't have to be in that environment of just being the one guy. And then it was like a process of just going, okay, you know what? There's other people. I have friends at home and I have friends outside of this location that I'm in. And it was like a safe place in my head where I was just like, this is actually not, I'm calm. I don't need anyone. And it's a thing where, because us two are from like places that a lot of university students don't really come from. Because, you know, the demographic for uni is a lot more, middle class or just private school. It's different in general.
Yeah, like I said, you got the, you know, the students from like Asia and and like from like with the super rich parents and they're living a different life and they're all very into their own thing. Then you got the kind of people from the towns and all of that, and their parents have big houses with
exactly
bare acres and all the different kind of thing, like, and they just live a different lifestyle to you, you know, so you don't necessarily relate. And yeah, it's just a, it can be a culture shock, innit? Like, you,
for real,
people just live differently.
And it's not a thing where you can't relate to them or you can't ever get along with them.
No, you can get along.
Of course. It's a thing, for me, I was just thinking, right now, uni just started, basically. It's been like a month. And I know a lot of people I know just listening have just started. What are some things we can give these people, like, so that they know that first year can still be sick, even if you're not really, like, even if you go through those lonely, isolated environments, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, there's some tips.
I say, one, you know, make sure, like, you connect with people on your course, because that's the most important, like, and don't just connect with people on your course that are going to be the ones that you have fun with and talk, like, make sure you connect with people that are actually doing the work. Like, that's one of the mistakes I kind of made when I started. Like, I just thought, let me connect with the people that are cool, but not necessarily people that are banging work. And that adds to your culture, innit? That adds to the, your uni culture. So if your uni culture is not to, to do work and your friends do the same, then you're just going to be stuck. You know what I'm saying? So definitely make sure you're making friends with people that are actually going to do work. But so you're one of those people that are going to be doing work. Go join societies, man. Join societies. If there's an anime society, if there's, you know, ACS or whatever it is, you know, judo society, and you like that stuff, or you want to get into something, MMA society, and all these different things, like, join them, hip-hop society, you know, and anything that you think you enjoy, join it. You know, it's, uni is definitely a place where you should make genuine friends. So by joining societies, at least you're normally connecting around things that you actually enjoy, you know.
That's definitely on my list, actually. Both of them. I feel like I made the same mistake for point number one. Like, just because it was like, it's a big-ass lecture hall. You've got people that look good and they look happy, and, like, you have bands with them. And then you've got people at the front just doing their work.
Doing it, banging.
And it's just like, I really want to hang out with you. At, like, firstly, like, from the get-go. Because naturally, we're just like, I want to hang with people that are social.
Because
we're social creatures. But then, looking back on it, some of my, best people that I go to that are on my course are, like, the smartest ones who are focused when they're in lectures. But when they're out, they know what time it is. So it's just like, I do think that's an important point to tackle. And then, regarding, what was the second one? What's the second thing you said? Societies.
Yeah, societies, man.
That is the latest thing for you.
Very important.
Listen.
Like, yeah, like, I think I went to, like, one or two ACS events, the intro and, like, a FIFA. Well, ACS, it wasn't for me, because it's a bit, even that culture wasn't for me, like, but it, you have to explore them. Explore and then stop, you know.
Exploration, that's the one.
Yeah, that's it, because that's what uni is about, it's an exploration process. Because how many people go do degrees and they don't necessarily go into that field? Like, it's more about exploring yourself, what do you like? I was fortunate, like, in my final year of uni, I didn't need to be super social because I had my social group, which was music. So when I'm not in uni, then I'm around musicians, you know? But if you're going in there raw, like, definitely make sure you're connecting with people, you know? And, yeah, on your course as well. That's the main thing. Connect with people on your course. Because if you're doing well in your course, you'll feel a lot better than if you're struggling behind and you have nobody to chat to. And make sure you build relationships with your lecturers as well. You know, that's another one. Because that will, that's the difference between you getting, like, different grades.
I thought of that.
Like, I got very ill, I think, maybe in December. And but because my lecturer was cool, and he knows me from years, like, he was like, cool, you don't have to do this section, just fill out this form and I'll pass it on, etc. It just makes things a lot smoother.
So the last thing, considering that topic that we just had, because you're a musician or artist in general, maybe just creative,
yeah,
and you're in uni, and you're doing what was you doing?
Astrophysics.
Something crazy.
Yeah.
How are you able to balance that? What tip can you give to someone so that they can start their journey and not feel like they're doing too much?
Okay, the main thing, utilize your weekends, you know, the time that you could be using to watch series and all of these things, use that to put into your music. Or alternatively, use that to study, you know. Use your summer as well. Like, one of the main things that allowed me to be successful in uni and music over this past year is that last summer I spent most of the time just recording, you know, so that when it comes to that time when I'm just going to be head deep in, you know, assignments and whatever, I've already got the music there, I've already got the videos there, I've already got the photos there. So just prepare, you know, so that you're not overwhelmed, because you can't do them successfully at this exact same time unless you prepared from before.